some words of prophecy that we're going to enjoy seeing the fruit of that thing come up. Praise God. I really do believe that, and I don't know what its nationality is going to be, and I don't know what language it's going to speak, but I do know this, that when they get the Holy Ghost, they're going to speak in a language they've never spoken in before. Well, praise God. Isn't that amazing? Elaine, what's her name? Lillian. Probably speaks four languages. She speaks English, she speaks French, and she speaks Vietnamese. But when she got the Holy Ghost, it was so precious. She was walking out of the baptismal area, and she was just crying. She said, "I feel it so much, it's making me cry." Brother Clifford tried to tell her about the Holy Ghost, and when she was in the office there talking to Elena, and I, she was, her little jaw was shaking, and she said, "I feel that it's happening right now." Praise God. But when she spoke in tongues, even though she speaks three or four languages, she didn't speak in any of those. Same thing with Lou, the Congolese that got it here 2 weeks ago. The guy speaks probably five or six languages. I know that he speaks French and English, and he speaks three or four Congolese dialects, and he speaks Swahili. The man is a walking United Nations interpreter. Brother Ronnie's got him hooked up in Bible study. He's going to teach him about the apostolic faith. There's no telling. There's no telling, Brother Ronnie, what kind of fire he'll set at UAB, because there's nobody from Africa that's going to have any trouble talking to him. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And so, it's Thanksgiving week. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I've got a lot to be thankful for." Praise God. Do you really believe that? We're going to read from Psalms 100. We'll kind of jump ahead here a little bit. We'll stay in the Psalms. But it's Thanksgiving week. Psalms 100, everyone say, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." God bless you. You can be seated. If you love him, let's give him praise and thanks for his word. Forever settled in the heavens, we praise you, mighty God. We bless you, Lord God. We're thankful tonight to know you in spirit and in truth. Thankful for the Holy Ghost. Thankful for the blood that washes away every sin. Thankful for a name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thankful for the promise of your coming. Thankful for the church and for the privilege of being a part of it. Thankful that you've given us power over demons and over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We're thankful for the immutable, unchangeable word of God that never changes and always works the will of God. We're thankful to be born again, heirs together with Christ. My God, we've got so much to be thankful for tonight. Praise God. And as the writer of Hebrews says, time would fail me to tell, and he gives a litany of those things that you just, it goes on and on forever, and so it is with our praise and our thanks. More than any other book, single book in the Bible, the Psalms is full of thanks. There are 30 references to thanks or thanksgiving, and most of these are attributable to David. And David is somebody that knows the heart of God, and David is full of thanks and full of thanksgiving. Now, it may have to do with the fact that David was overlooked and came late into the kingdom. Some have suggested that David might have been a bastard by birth, and maybe that was the the key to his having proclaimed, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." It may be because David knew that he was just a hand's breadth between life and death, between life and hell, because he fell into adultery and he fell into sin. But merciful God reached down from heaven and restored David and gave him his life again. I don't know what the origin necessarily is. It may just be that David had a heart to give praise unto God, but he gives thanks more than any body in all of the Old Testament. The dominant themes of his thanks and his thanksgiving are, "For his mercy endureth forever." That is a mantra throughout the Psalms. He says, "I give him thanks because he is good." A repetitive phrase throughout the Psalms is, "Give him praise or thanks because he is good." Everybody say, "God is good all the time." Praise God. He says, "We give him thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." When I think about holiness, it's not a drudgery, and it's not a negative, and it's not a combative thing that I war against. But I begin to give God thanks when I think about holiness, because I understand that holiness is a rampart and a wall of protection around me. It is the hand of God that selects one and makes him after the nature of God. We praise God for holiness tonight. We praise him in the beauty of holiness. And David was thankful for holiness. And he says, "I give thanks that thy name is near." Those are the four most prominent themes of David's thanks throughout the Psalms. Psalms 100, verse 4. Everyone say, "Be thankful unto him and bless his name." If you're sitting near someone tonight, and some of you are not, but if you are, say, "Be thankful unto him and bless his name." That's a mandate, or that is a command form, and it simply is as much a mandate as Acts 2:38. Be thankful and bless his name. It is an order and a mandate from the Word of God that I am thankful and that I bless his name. Every day of my life, I don't need to have my lip dragging in the mud and my heart all possessed with negativism and sadness, but I need to be thankful unto God. There's a man, as much as I need to be baptized in Jesus' name, as much as I'm going to tell you something tonight, he can wash your sins away, he can fill you with the Holy Ghost, but if you're eaten up with negativism and you don't have a thankful heart, your chances of being saved are very slim. Praise God. The Word of God said, "Be thankful." There's power in thankfulness. There's a strength in faithfulness. There's a call of God in mandate form. Chapter 92 in the Psalms, verse 1. It is, everyone say, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a positive and a powerful thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a problem when God's people are walking through a wilderness and they're murmuring, because the Word of God says God hears that and he's not pleased with that. But he says, and we read it Sunday night, those that spake often one to another about the Lord, God heard it and he wrote it down in a book of remembrance. And he said, "When I gather my jewels, they're going to be part of my people." Praise God. Isn't it neat that God hears us when we talk? Isn't it neat that he hears every word that I utter? Isn't it neat that he's going to judge me and that the power of life and death is in my tongue? What an awesome thing that God hears every word that I say. My God, I want to be thankful. And I want to be positive. And I want to talk about the good things. And you can talk about all the negatives if you want. But I've come under the service of a God that has been good to me. And because of him, life is good. And because of him, I believe he's going to take me through every difficult thing. And how could I be anything other than thankful? Praise God. Psalms 119, verse 62, David said, "At midnight I'll arise and give thanks." He said, I might wake up in the middle of the night, but when I do, I'm going to have thanks on my heart for God, because God has been good to me. And it's always before me, and it's always on my mind. 69 and 30 of the Psalms, I'll magnify him with thanksgiving. It lifts up God when God's people begin to give thanks unto him. The world is not praising him. The enemy is not lifting him up. If God's going to be magnified, it's going to be because his people say, regardless of the circumstance, I'm going to give God the thanks. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And we've gone through this drill before, and it is absolutely true that as we begin to praise him and as we begin to thank him, God is magnified. The Word of God declares that. It is a biblical fact. But we understand that God can't get any bigger, because he already fills all that there is. He stretches out beyond all the natural creation, and he fills all in all. And so the magnification of God is not in the reality of the spirit, but the magnification of God is in my faith and in my mind and in my heart. When I begin to lift him up, he gets bigger in my home. When I begin to lift him up, he gets bigger in my relationships. When I begin to give thanks to God, he gets bigger in this church and bigger in my city. Well, praise God. I want God to be magnified. I need to get on board with this and have a thankful heart and praise and magnify God. 95 and 2, David said, we'll come before his presence with thanksgiving. Isn't it awesome that we don't come before him with a list of all of our problems and our bobos and our worries and our frets and all of that and make them new? I'm so glad we can come to the house of God with joy and with thanksgiving, knowing that as I come before God, my problems are going to be taken care of. As I get myself in his presence, my sins are going to be taken care of. Isn't it awesome to be able to come before him with thanksgiving? Psalms 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving gives me access to God. Whining does not. Complaining does not. Murmuring won't get me past the door. But thanksgiving will get me into the presence of God. If you need God, and I know that we do, if we need to be in the presence of God, thanksgiving will walk us, move us as a motive force into the presence of God. Psalms 107 and 22, there is a sacrifice of thanksgiving, David says. And it may be that your problem is dominant in your thinking, but go ahead and thank him. It's a sacrifice. It may hurt a little bit if your heart is broken to clap your hands and lift your voice in thanksgiving to God, because your soul is broken within you. And it's a sacrifice to lift up. You may have tears streaming down your face, and they're not tears of joy, but get those hands up. Get that mouth open. Open up that heart and begin to thank God. Because I'm telling you, you are closer to your answer when you're thanking God. You are closer to your miracle when you're thanking God. You are closer to the promise when you're thanking God. Clap your hands unto him. Lift him up. Come on, somebody give thanks unto God tonight. Somebody praise him in the house tonight. I know you've got turkey on your mind, and I know we're getting into the holiday season, but my God, I've got a heart full of thanks tonight. And at this time of year, it is more obvious to me than any other time of the year how wonderfully and powerfully blessed we are. Praise God. What a neat holiday that people got together and said, let's thank God. Let's share our abundance. And let's thank God. Praise God. In the New Testament, we find the person that more than any other biblical character praises God by thanks. And it is interesting that it's the Apostle Paul. 45 times he is either personally, I thank God, I thank God, I thank God. Or he is talking in terms of thanksgiving. And he's praising and magnifying God with thanks. More than anybody else we have record of, the Lord himself in the four Gospels. Paul is given to thanks. And Maybe because he just understands the theology of it so well. Maybe because he's a student of Gamaliel and he is extremely in touch with the scripture, and so he's been influenced by David. It may be that he is, as he spoke himself, one born out of season. He wasn't one of the chosen ones. He was an enemy of the church. He was locking up the church. He was causing Stephen to be stoned, and he was the enemy of the people of God. And he gives us that information himself. And maybe it's because he was so far from the kingdom of God. And whatever it is, he has a heart of thanks unto God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul says, in everything, give thanks. Now, that's not an easy thing. But Paul knew about that. Paul gives you a litany of the things that he suffered. And he had been betrayed by his brethren, and he had been beaten numerous times. He had spent a day and the night in the deep. He had been shipwrecked. He had been locked up. He had been hated. He had been stoned, and literally stoned to death. But he said, this man said, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And I have seen and I have felt the surge of power that there is. Tonight, we shouted together with Brother Terry as he reminisces over Joseph's victory in prison and in the pit, because his victory was voiced by saying, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And we can tell by his testimony that when he was in those dark years and when he was in those terrible times, he never lost sight of his promise in God. He told Potiphar's wife, I can't sin against God. He told the other prisoners in Egypt that were in the same cell he was in. He said, dreams belong to God. He never lost his faith because he never lost a heart of thankfulness. You want to stay alive in the kingdom of God? Thankfulness is going to fuel your faith. You want to stay alive in the kingdom of God? Get that voice up. Get those hands up. Get that heart up. Don't you let anybody steal your heart of thanks. Well, praise God. Praise God. He said, giving thanks always for all things. That's a difficult thing to do. But I have stood in an emergency room and watched a mother giving thanks to God as they were pulling the sheet up over her 11-year-old. I have stood in a living room and watched a wonderful woman of God lifting up her hands. And while her husband was dying in the floor, the thing that kept rolling out of her mouth was, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. She was on autopilot. She had no idea what she was saying or what she was feeling. It was one of those moments where you're just blinded by the light of the thing that's happening. You're stunned by the events of that moment. She was on autopilot. But in that moment, her character and her relationship with God began to just flow out of her. And while she's standing there in that most horrible of moments, she's saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody in the church knows how to comfort her, but that Holy Ghost is comforting her. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. The paramedics and those that have come to help, they don't understand what's happening with her. They just think she's off on some kind of a religious fanaticism or something in the moment of pain, but she's connecting with that source of strength that she's been connected with all these years, and she's thanking him. I'll tell you something. Thanksgiving will take you down to the hospital and maintain your faith there. Thanksgiving will take you down to the graveyard and still maintain your faith there. Thanksgiving is a relationship with God for every season of life and every moment of life, joyous times and painful times. In everything, give thanks. Let's clap our hands into him and bless him tonight. And praise him. What a mighty God, and how worthy of all the praise. Praise God. A heart of thanksgiving will cause you to keep a right perspective. It'll keep your head screwed on straight. A heart of thanksgiving keeps you on the North Star in the Spirit. Causes you to walk in the way of God. Makes you have a right perspective. A heart of thanksgiving helps you to keep your priorities right. Helps you to reinforce the things that you know are most important in your life. Now, I've taught on this in the last several months or in the course of the last year, but I'm going to revisit this for a moment here. Your heart of thanksgiving causes you to refocus on those things that are most important. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It is absolutely important. It's imperative for me. If I have things in my life that are important, that I take time every day and offer up thanks. If I think living for God is important, I need to take some time every day, preferably in the beginning of the day, and offer up thanks for that. Because every time I do, every time I open my mouth and I say, I thank you for the Holy Ghost, that trace in my mind and in my spirit concerning the importance of the Holy Ghost gets a little bit deeper. When I thank him for the Word of God becomes more preeminent in my life. When I thank him for the blood that cleanses my sins, that power of the blood becomes more important in my thinking and in my life. And if I do that every day, I am not so likely to forget those things or lay them aside or think of them as unimportant in my life. Now, that may not seem important to you, but let me tell you something. Backsliding doesn't happen in a moment of time. It doesn't happen in just a day. It happens when your mind forgets what's important and your priorities get a little scattered and your heart grows a little jaded and you forget what's, let me tell you something, when that car goes out of control, or you slip on that roof and you begin to fall, or you get a phone call in the middle of the night with a message of tragedy on the other end, immediately the veil lifts and you remember what's most important in your life. And in that moment, the blood and the word and the name of Jesus and the God of all creation are eminently important in your life. But we are so like sheep. We are so like dumb creatures. And if we don't continually expose ourselves to a renewal of those important things, we forget. Men can forget how important their wives are. If you don't thank God every day for that wife, you lose the sense of value, the wonderful gift that she is in your life. If you don't thank God for her every day, she becomes common and ordinary to you. Because that's just the nature of life. Anything becomes common to the flesh after a while. The rivers run into the sea and the sea is not full. And that's exactly what the flesh is like. Anything will become common to you after a while. And you'll just take it for granted. And that relationship will begin to drift. And it's easy for that little woman at the office or some woman in a public situation to begin to cast a spell on you or move in your direction and have you begin to respond to her. Whereas if just that morning and for the 500 or 600 or 1,000 or 10,000 mornings prior to that, you were saying, I thank God for my wife. I thank God for the precious gift that she is to me. I thank God for the wonderful, wonderful companion that you've given me. I thank you, God, because when that's fresh in your mind, the spell of the enemy has very little sway or very little power within you, because you remember what's precious and you remember what's important. You let that marriage fracture. You let that house fall apart. You let that life of yours spin out of control. It won't take you long at all to remember how good it was to have stability in your life and have a friend standing by you through the course of your life. Praise God. You need to thank God every day for your children. You need to thank God for them when they're toddlers, and thank God for them when they're screaming in their little cribs. You need to thank God for them when they're heading out to school on that first morning. You need to thank God for them when they turn into the terrible teens. You need to thank God for them when they're slamming the door, and when they're stomping up the stairs, and when they're mad at God and mad at you, and they don't know if they want to live holy or not, and it seems like they're going to tear the whole house apart. You need to thank God for them, because it keeps them preeminent in your mind. I'm telling you, a heart of thanksgiving will cause you to have right priorities. A heart of thanksgiving will cause you to focus on the right things and to make the traces of those things deep in your mind and in your spirit, so that you're not likely. When we talked about this before, I told you it ought not take a tragedy. Because after a tragedy, in the moment of a tragedy, everybody knows what's important. Oh, everybody hangs around in the funeral hall and they talk about how important relationships are, and how important friends are, how important husbands and wives are. Everybody at the ICU, at the hospital, everybody there would like prayer. Now, if I found them the week before at the bar room or at the dance hall, or if I walked up to them in the middle of a football stadium and offered to pray with them, this guy's a religious lunatic. He's out of his mind. And they don't understand the importance of prayer. But you let that baby be on life support, or you let that loved one be in a place where their life is threatened. My God, pray for me too. But it ought not take a tragedy. It ought not take a horrible phone call. It ought not take a trip to the hospital. If you'll have a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of thankfulness before God, those things will stay preeminent. Your focus will stay sharp. Your bearings will be on the North Star of the will of God in your life. And you won't easily be swayed, because you know what's important. It's only when you're staggering off in a place of forgetfulness and indecision, and you lose your sharpness in the spirit. But a heart of thanksgiving will keep you strong in God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I think David probably is the most dynamic character in the Old Testament, and thanks came from him more than anybody else. I think Paul was probably the most dynamic in the New Testament, with the exception of Jesus Christ. And thanks came from him more than anybody else. You go figure that out. I believe a heart of thanksgiving will make you strong in the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. A heart of thanksgiving will create a positive attitude and a positive atmosphere in your relationships and in your home. And in the places that are most important in life, a heart of thanksgiving creates a wonderful atmosphere and a wonderful attitude. Somebody say, praise the Lord. If you're thankful, you just naturally are positive. If you're thankful, you're just naturally, you see the glass half full. If you're thankful, you're not griping about what the government's doing and what other people are doing and what folks in the church are doing or not doing. You're not griping about that, because you're all about, but I'm thankful. So, you know, the whole world looks different to people with a thankful heart, because you're giving thanks in everything. And it displaces murmuring. Those two things don't coexist. I thank you, God, for my wife. She's the most wonderful person in the world. Why are you doing that? Why'd you wreck the car? Because I'm a woman. That's what we do. I say, honey, don't you notice those pylons around that gas pump? She said, well, I knew it was hung up on something. I just gave it more gas. Okay, so I've got a limited experience with women drivers, but so my perspective is a little skewed because of that. Maybe not everybody's like that. But if you're thankful, you have a positive attitude, an optimistic attitude. Somebody say praise the Lord. If I'm thankful for my wife and I thank God for her, then I have a positive attitude. And I just say, You just ripped the whole side off that band, didn't you? Well, thankful for insurance. Thankful for State Farm. A heart of thanksgiving will suspend the fleshly need for negativism and will make you a positive and an optimistic person. Everybody say praise the Lord. I mean, you can do the exercise. You can try. Just try it for 6 months. Be thankful for everything. And you won't have negativism running out of your mouth like bad news. It just won't happen. Praise God. A thankful heart will make you better positioned to seize the day. A thankful heart will position, because you're expecting something good. You've got a thankful heart, you're expecting good things. You've got an old negative heart, you're expecting bad things. So a good thing could run over you like a Mack truck and you'd never know it. You see good things and you think, oh, this is really bad. What does this mean? My God, 26 people on the bus. That's going to cause all kind of problems. Oh my God, a Vietnamese girl got the Holy Ghost. Are we going to have war in Vietnam again here at the church or something? Have problems here? Praise God. Guy from the Congo got the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? It's probably bad, huh? Maybe they got diseases. You know, most people in Africa got diseases. Probably get on us here. I don't know if I ought to go back to church or not. You know, if the preacher's talking about all that revival and we have all that, so Charlotte is really going to go nuts. She's only half nuts now, but she's going to go nuts. And there won't be room for them. And we don't have enough stuff over there. And it's just going to be a big problem to have revival. Oh, my God. You know, people are going to think the whole church is weird because of the behavior of just a few. You know, you can find a negativism in anything. Or you can be thankful. My God, all kind of people are coming in. We won't have room for Sunday school. That means God will give us a new building. We have all kind of weird people coming getting the Holy Ghost. That means we've got greater access for revival. Praise God. I just choose to be thankful. I choose to praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. It positions you to seize the day or to be ready when the opportunity opens up. If you're negative, you can see something beautiful coming your way and think it's a disaster. And you'll never know. Praise God. Praise God. I'm ready to quit. We may do a little workshop here before it's over. Turn to your neighbor if you have a neighbor, because some of you don't tonight, and tell them actions affect feelings. Tell them feelings follow actions. Well, if I felt better, I'd do better. Well, if you'd do better, you'd feel better. And God just does that. He always puts it in your court. But you know what? If you would be thankful to others, you'd have a better attitude about others. If you'd be thankful for others, you'd have a better attitude about others. Chase, if you would just, I want to challenge you. Begin tomorrow morning, every morning, to get down on your knees and thank God for your mother. God, I've got a wonderful mother. God, I've got the best mom in the whole world. God, I want to thank you for giving me such a wonderful mother. And see, when she slaps you upside the head next time, you will feel positively toward her. when she harangues you about your room, it won't be a problem because you'll say, she's such a wonderful mother. She's right all the time. When she decides to ground you and suspend you and make you park the truck and you can't drive it for 6 months, you'll say, my mom knows best. Because you have a thankful heart. Now, some of you think I'm exaggerating, but I'm really not. If you're a child or a young person in this place and you're having trouble with your parents, the problem is not your parents. The problem is you're going through changes and it is natural for you to resist authority. You need to get on your face tonight when you get home. You need to begin to thank God for the authority in your life, for the rule and the law and the statute and the regulation in your life. And the world is saying, come on out with us and we'll just do anything. And there's voices and there's spirits that are saying, all those rules and all those regulations, we don't need all that in our life. You better get on your face and thank God for the rules. You better thank God for the restrictions. You better thank God for the regulations. They're going to take you to a place of success in your natural life and in your spiritual life. Somebody say praise the Lord. The more positive or the more thankful you are about people, the more positive an attitude you'll have with them. Praise God. I thank God for the praise group tonight. Well, I'm glad four or five of you agree. I thank God for the praise group because they make it easy to preach in this house. They crank this place up, and it's so easy to preach. We have guys giving the announcements, and they start preaching. Because it's, well, you don't believe that. You come step up here sometime. It'll get all over you, even if you don't mean for it to. What's that? Somebody's singing the glory down, and you can do that. I thank God for a church. I thank God for a church that knows the lesson of praise and worship. I thank God for a people that are hungry to draw close to God and that worship and praise and create an atmosphere. You know how we've had 10 people get the Holy Ghost in the last 2 weeks? It's because there's an atmosphere of revival here and there's a moving of the Holy Ghost here. I thank God for a church that knows how to create a climate for people to receive the Holy Ghost. I thank God for passionate people that'll get down on the altar and pray with people and bring people from their schools and stimulate people in a service to go and be baptized in Jesus' name. I thank God for all of that. I thank God I'm not standing here preaching to a bunch of morons and corpses that don't have any passion and don't have any sense about the kingdom of God. I'm so glad that I'm engaged with a bunch of people that are radical about the things of God and radical about revival. I'm thankful for that. When I talk about this church, I talk good about it. Talk good about it with everybody. If I talk to them locally or I talk to them outside, I'm talking to other preachers or missionaries. I talk good about this church because I love this place and I love what God's doing here. And I'm thankful to be a part of this. Well, praise the Lord. I'll just tell you, it ain't like that everywhere. Just travel around a little bit. People hate the preacher and the preacher hates the people. My God, everybody goes home depressed after church. My God, how you doing? Okay, good to see you. But if they'd all get a thankful heart. God, I thank God for my bald-headed preacher. God, I thank God for my church family and how wonderful they are. Praise God. You'll have fewer lines in your face. Fewer wrinkles. You'll be prettier. Smilers are prettier than frowners. Praise God. I thank God for Brother Hagedorn teaching those kids and those new folks over there tonight. Because that's something I want done, and it's something I want to do, and it's something we need to happen. But I can't do all that needs to be done around here. So God's put us in a place here with people with passion so that they can lay their hands on the work of God. Thank God for Sister Freeman and the good work she's doing with our elders. And that's an important ministry, and it's something that needs to be done. And she's doing a wonderful job with it. I thank God for Sister Corey and Barnabas and how they're ministering to so many people and doing such a good work. Thank God for Sister Charlotte and the Sunday school ministry and everybody that's involved with the children's ministries. My goodness, there's so many good things going on in the house of God. How could you be a part of the church of the living God and not be thankful? I thank God for the sound men. Because they make me have a nice big FM voice. Instead of a little tinny AM transistor radio voice. You'd be surprised at the conflict that goes on in the apostolic church about sound men. The sound men. I was talking to Elder J.T. Pugh, and I was serious. I picked him up for a licensing seminar, and we were feeding him dinner, and I said, Brother Pugh, I said, what do you think? You travel a lot. You're an elder in the church. You've been around forever. I said, what do you think needs to happen first for a great revival? He said, well, first we need to kill all the sound men. And everybody at my table said, amen. No, but we're thankful for them. Now, when you're working with people, you're married to people, you're living with people, or you're ministering with people, iron sharpens iron. There are going to be places where you don't see eye to eye and you don't agree, or you have differences of opinion, or someone fails in their responsibility. That's just part of life. You fail, they fail. We're all the same. But we have a thankful heart about one another, and we're just glad to be in the church. I'm just glad they let me in. Do you feel like that? I'm just glad they let me in. Praise God. Praise God. Sister Joyce, are you glad? Are you thankful Sister Lisa's teaching you a Bible study? Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Brother Ronnie, are you thankful Brother Mike taught you a home Bible study? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? Somebody came to your house and taught you a home Bible study? Praise God. And there's so many things to be thankful for. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. Workshop. What are you thankful for?
You can. You can sit. We don't care.
Okay. I'm thankful for my family and my school and my friends and for this church.
Praise God. She's got a thankful heart. She'll do 60% better in every area of life than murmurers. I just made that up, but it's probably more so true than that.
Well, I'm thankful for my family, too. I'm thankful for God's mercy and for his grace. And
how do you feel about your mom?
I think she's the best mom in the world.
Hey!
And I'm thankful for just all the blessings that we have.
Praise God. Praise God. Is it working? Does it work? It's Beatrice? Bernice? Bernice. Can you see that? Step up here, Bernice. Can you see that? I thank God for new converts. Let me, can you read that? It says New Life Pentecostal Church. I never dreamed anybody would have a digital belt buckle that would advertise the church. Isn't that phenomenal? Positive change always comes from the outside. That's why the kingdom of God is others-oriented. We've got to have a new, fresh flow of life. Boy, now we're all going to have big belt buckles. Praise God. I want you to take a minute. Just turn to somebody right by you and tell them, something that you're really thankful for. Something or someone that you're really thankful for. Now, guys, are you being goofy or are you really doing this? This is a serious moment here, guys. This is a good time for guy bonding. Did you do it for real or did you just goof off? Okay. Because guys feel funny about that sometimes. Yeah, see what I mean? They makes them feel funny. I'm thankful for you. Well, me too. Let's stand together. Why don't we just come down around the altar together? There's lots of room because there's not many of us here. Praise God. Praise God.